The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
It is not often that the Gospels give us an insight into our Lord's friends or other relationships outside of the 12 apostles. Occasionally, one figure or another is painted briefly with some bold strokes. There are certain personalities, like the centurion who asks for the cure of his servant, that remain in our minds. But the family of Bethany is almost unique because they are clearly personal friends of Jesus, perhaps related to him humanly on either Mary's side of the family or through the family of Joseph, or perhaps they grew up in Nazareth. We're not told, but it is clear that their home is a favorite resting place of his, and that he is intimate friends with all of them. Because of this, the name Bethany was adopted early on in the church's history to signify a refuge or a place of healing, restoration, and care. So many hospitals, nursing homes, old age homes, rest houses, and retreat houses have the name Bethany. In more recent times, food banks and soup kitchens and domestic abuse centers have taken the same name. Now, the story which you've just heard proclaimed in the gospel is a familiar one to you. St. Luke describes Martha as the lady of the house, the hostess who's busy about many things as she prepares dinner for Jesus and perhaps for some of his apostles. She complains that she has no time to sit at Christ's feet and enjoy his company and asks that he send her sister into the kitchen to help him. And we all know the famous words that Jesus answers her with, "Martha, Martha, you are concerned about many things, but only one is important. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her." That's quite a daring thing to say to a woman in the kitchen who's making dinner. I don't recommend any of you try it at home. Now, Jesus was always perfectly mannered, even if he seems to be taking advantage of being the Son of God here. It has a purpose. And he must have trusted Martha greatly to say what he did. Martha's response to him is not recorded, but it must have demonstrated equal politesse, because Martha's not only a saint, she was a lady. Now, our Lord's words are usually interpreted to mean that he, the divine guest, has come to give a gift. He's come to give a blessing to all the members of that household, and Martha is so preoccupied that she's preventing herself from enjoying that gift. There's a lesson there. She's so concerned with her own offering, with what she's doing, that she doesn't see the bigger picture. She doesn't see how to receive something or someone that is so sublime, her divine visitor. Now, we need to ponder this, because it can happen to us very, very easily. But Jesus' words, according to scripture scholars, often have different levels of meaning, all of them true, and all related to one another. Sometimes our Lord is speaking with an immediate purpose to the people that are in front of him, but his words also have a prophetic meaning that's going to apply to us down through the centuries to the end of time. And if that's the case, perhaps Jesus had a double intention here. Perhaps he just wanted to keep Mary out of the kitchen because she was the poorer cook and she might have spoiled the meal. We don't know. It can be on your list of questions when you get to heaven. It's on mine. But this is not Martha's only appearance in the life of our Lord. There's another moment in the Gospel of St. John which is extremely important and has a wonderful lesson for us. It occurs when Lazarus takes ill suddenly and dies, and Jesus is not there. And by the time he arrives, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 3 days. When Jesus and the apostles arrive at the outskirts of the village, perhaps near the tomb itself, Martha is sent word of this, and she immediately gets up and leaves the group of mourning women in her home and goes to Jesus at the tomb. Mary stays at home, which may indicate that Mary just liked to sit. When Martha comes to Jesus and sees him, running to him as her friend and Lord, she expresses her faith in remarkable words. She says, "Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And then Jesus answers her in one of the most beautiful and comforting expressions to be found in the whole New Testament. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, although he be dead, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall not die forever." Do you believe this? And once again, Martha proves that she is the true friend and disciple of Jesus, and that she's understood many and deep things while she was busy in the kitchen, straining to hear his voice in her house. She answers, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who was to come into this world." Now, St. John has already in his gospel Peter's profession of faith. What he's doing is he's matching Peter's profession of faith with Martha's and showing them as equal. This is something very powerful indeed. And Martha's words not only restore her brother Lazarus to her, because Jesus then immediately raises him from the dead, but they've brought comfort to countless others who have benefited from her faith and found peace and reassurance in Jesus' words spoken first to her. That gospel passage is a favorite for funerals. And Christ's words to Martha are inscribed over cemeteries and memorialized in worship and in hymn and in prayer. Now, Martha later would become the patron saint of cooks and housekeepers and all things domestic. Legends claim that she and her sister and brother traveled to France, and there are many shrines around Marseille that evoke these biblical characters. We won't know for certain if all of these legends or any of them are true, but they have become an important part of the life of faith and of the trust that Catholics have in the intercession of the saints and in God blessing our home life. Even here in Canada, one of the foundations, one of the early foundations of sisters established, founded here in Canada, is dedicated to St. Martha, the Sisters of St. Martha of Antigonish, Nova Scotia. So this woman has had a powerful influence, and she has lessons for each of us. So I'm going to suggest to you two very brief prayers to Martha, cook to the Lord Christ, patron saint of servers, waitresses, waiters, housekeepers, homemakers, housewives, servants, hotel keepers, innkeepers, bed and breakfast operators, cooks, dietitians, domestic workers, domestic servants, housemaids, hotel maids, manservants, butlers, laundry workers, travelers, hostesses, waitresses, and the occasional man who barbecues. Since some of you, particularly young people, might be working this summer in restaurants, bussing tables, or waiting on tables, there's this prayer. The author is anonymous. O blessed Saint Martha, I beseech you to help me to serve others with just enough grace, humility, and patience to garner a generous gratuity. Amen. Now, if that prayer isn't useful to you, this second one that I wrote might be. Holy and good Saint Martha, you entertained our Lord in your own home, and you delighted and refreshed him with your cooking and hospitality. Bless my kitchen and my cooking as I try my best to love and feed my family and the friends who sit at our table. As I delight in the smells and tastes of the wonders God has created for us, in my cherished recipes, and the memories and satisfaction that fill my heart as I cook for my loved ones, help me to remember that the one who comes to us as the bread of life has created for us an eternal banquet. May I never forget the needs of the poor and the hungry, so that I may be found worthy to enter into that heavenly banquet. And may I be as eager here on earth to share my food and gifts with the needy as I am with those whom I love and cherish most. And good Saint Martha, after I have learned, like you, to love and trust Jesus, the divine guest and best of friends, in all things great and small, in sorrows as well as in joys, may I come to join you in that heavenly banquet where the wine of love never fails and all the dirty pots and dishes have already been wiped away. Amen.